We'll go to Job chapter number 14, and we'll take a text from verse number 17. The Bible says, "My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity." And let's go to the Job chapter number 14 and verse number 17, "My transgression is sealed up in a bag." I want to take that as my text. My transgression is sealed up in a bag. I preached something somewhat along this line in the past, but I want to preach for a little while on this subject. Bags and bottles, boxes and books, and the judgment seat of Christ. I think it's interesting. We just had that clean up, and there's so many things thrown out. We might think of some of this sometimes, this kind of thing sometimes, things to throw out or things not worth much, but bags and bottles, boxes and books, and the judgment seat of Christ. Notice, if you will, the first two verses of Job chapter number 14. The Bible says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." There are so many great texts to preach from in the book of Job. There are so many great texts in this particular passage to preach from. If I preach two messages a chapter, then that could put me going over a year and a half, every Sunday morning, going for a year and a half, going through the book of Job, which I'm not in a big hurry. And yet I haven't even reached the last few chapters where the Bible gives us the words of God Himself. And certainly I think when I get into the words of God Himself, I may end up with more text concentrated in that area than I've had in the other areas where I'm drawing from the opinions of Job and the three friends. There are some tremendous texts, and here's one that you might hear talked about. You might hear somebody quote it when they're having trouble. The Bible says in that first verse, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Those words seem somewhat similar to the words of Pharaoh, the words that were spoken to Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked Jacob, and Jacob had just recently come from the land of Israel to Egypt, and he was going to stay there in Egypt, and Pharaoh asked him how old he was. Jacob said this, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Certainly the longevity of man had already dropped off. Their men were not living 800-something, 900-something years as far as I know at this time. It seems the longevity of man had dropped off, and sin had taken more effect upon the world at this particular time. Our view of life can change greatly from the perspective that we're looking at life from. The word perspective, I found this interesting. The first definition in the 1828 dictionary for perspective is a glass through which objects are viewed. Imagine if a man was wearing a mechanism whereby he could view things through different lenses. And so he would put in one lens or put in another lens. And sometimes it might be he would view things through a darkened lens, a dim lens, sometimes perhaps a distorted lens, sometimes perhaps through a clear lens. He might use a variety of lenses, maybe sometimes a rosy lens, looking at things about him. The way you view life can change depending on the lens you are looking through. Let's consider these things. Number one, the lens of the original sinless state of man. If you compare our state to that which Adam had at the beginning, certainly there's so much more trouble than Adam had. God put Adam in a perfect environment. There was no sin. He had no sin at the beginning. There was no sin affecting the earth at the time. And so CERN is a much better situation than we have today. Every one of us, every day, faces troubles that Adam did not have in that sinless state in a sinless world. Then secondly, we might consider the lens of personal experience. Job in the past had lived a life in which he was greatly blessed of God materially and otherwise. And yet there came this time in his life where he was going through a very hard time. There had been the physical suffering and the loss of material things and the loss of children. He was suffering so much, and looking from that perspective, looking through that lens, he spoke about how hard life was. And I think we might consider Job's viewpoint at this time to be that life is hard and death would be a relief. Then, number three, we might consider the lens of what we deserve. If we look at life through the lens of what we deserve, certainly I'm having it better than I deserve. Certainly I have not received the punishment that I deserve, and certainly I have received blessings that I have not deserved. In fact, I don't deserve anything any better than hell. And God has given me so many things, and so if I'm outside of hell and I get a cup of cold water and a piece of bread, that's something to be thankful for. If I look at it through the perspective of what I deserve, life is great. Amen? Amen. Then if I look at it through the lens of eternity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This life is so short, and the afflictions are so small, and the glory that is to come is so great. One of the little problems of this life, this little short life, one of the problems of this life compared to the glory which shall be revealed. And so if I look at this life through the lens of eternity, then it's just for a little while. I'm just here for a little while. And by the grace of God, I can endure. And by the grace of God, I can live victoriously for just a little while. And this will be over. And eternity shall go on. Amen. And then if I look at this life through the lens of ignorance, the fact is we are ignorant of many things. There are many things that we just don't know. In fact, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And so, in this life, there are so many things that I don't know. It is interesting to me that in the book of Job, I do not find an indication that God explained all the circumstances that had gone on in heaven. As Satan had come before God, God had given Satan permission to attack Job and all the things that went on. As far as I know, God did not reveal that to him during the time period that is spoken of in the book of Job, and perhaps throughout all of his life. He did not know what all went on between God and Satan. And it is true, there's a lot of things we are ignorant of. As far as heaven is concerned, as far as God is concerned, I look through a glass darkly. Right now, I cannot see clearly everything that is to come. As far as the providence of God and why God does things, there's so many ways in which I'm looking through a glass darkly. I cannot see it clearly now. But there are times when we could change our perspective, and instead of being down and out and doubting and discouraged, we could change our perspective and be thankful and be joyful. There are sometimes you might say you need to change your lens. There are sometimes it might be that instead of looking at your own personal experience, looking at life through your own personal experience at the time, look at it through the lens of eternity. Look at it through the lens of what you deserve. There are times that we might just simply change our perspective of things, and our view of life becomes so much brighter and so much better. In this case, though, I believe that Job was looking at life through the perspective of his current situation, and certainly it was a hard situation. And I believe that Job desired to die. Life is hard, and death is a resting place. These verses, verses 1 through 14, consider those two thoughts. Life is hard, and death is a resting place. Notice, if you will, verses 13 and 14. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. In the case of Job, he would live until God finally took him home, and then he would finally be at rest. Daniel was told to rest. He was going to die. He had seen so many visions of terrible things that would take place upon the face of this earth, things concerning the tribulation period. But look at Daniel chapter number 12, and Daniel was to rest. In the case of Job, I believe he saw the grave or death as a resting place. I don't have time to deal with every good text that is found in the passage. Notice verse number 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And the answer is, not one. Can any man that is unclean, any man except for the grace of God, the work of the Holy Spirit of God, produce any good works? Not one. I cannot in and of myself produce anything that's pleasing to God. I must have the grace of God and the help of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus told Nicodemus, which of course did not understand the new birth, and asked, could a man enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And certainly, an unclean couple, unclean parents, sinful parents, cannot produce a clean child, a sinless child. Jesus Christ, of course, was perfect and sinless, but Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But two mere fleshly, sinful parents cannot produce that which is clean. The unclean cannot produce the clean. The sinful cannot produce the sinless. And that which is born of the flesh, that which is born of sinful flesh, is sinful flesh. But thank God, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And God can birth something clean. God can produce that new man, the man that will not sin. Thank the Lord, there is a part of me that does not sin, never has sinned, never shall sin. There's another part of me that loves it. But thank God there's a part of me that will not sin, the new man. And that's because the absolutely clean, the holy God produced that within me. I could not do that in the flesh. There are a number of things we might consider in this passage, but let me move on to this. In verse number 7, the Bible speaks about the hope of a tree. There's a hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water It will bud, bring forth boughs like a plant. But then notice this in contrast. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? The tree, if the tree is cut down, we might think, well, perhaps it'll sprout again. But I've never conducted a funeral with the hopes, well, it might be that in a few days the man will get up. It might be the man, he'll come forth. And I'm not talking about just in the end resurrection, but I never had the idea that men that died shall sprout again. Dr. Seidler, he brought a message, and I think he may have used as his text, the scent of water. And we might think about the Word of God, the water of the Word of God. But in contrast to the tree, when man dieth, he shall not sprout again. Then notice, if you will, verses 15 through 22, the end of the chapter. I'm not going to say much about those verses. But man shall give account to God, and God prevails over man. The last of the chapter speaks about what happens after a man dies, beginning with verse 21. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. If a man dies, then he might have, for instance, a son that is honored, giving awards, reaching great goals, and him not know what is taking place. If a man dies, his son may end up being dishonored. His son may end up stooping to a very low level, and him knowing nothing about what has happened here upon earth. Think about the idea that man shall give an account to God, and God prevails over man, and with death, the man that has gone on, there are so many things that can happen upon life that he knows nothing of. And I believe for Job, he considered death to be a place of rest, and he longed to go there, to die, to leave this world with all of its trouble. Now let me get to my main subject. Bags and bottles, boxes and books, and the judgment seat of Christ. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I think perhaps because of the way some preachers have presented this, that some have had the idea that the saved shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ and the lost shall not appear there, but they may speak about the great white throne judgment. The fact is, we shall all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. The saved and the lost shall appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm not saying it's going to be all at the same time, but every one of us shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In the book of Romans, in chapter number 2 and verse number 6, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds." Every man. If you study Romans chapter number 2, verse number 6, and its context, I believe it is clear that there the Bible speaks of not just the saved, but it speaks also of the unsaved. All men shall be rewarded according to their deeds. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, those that are lost shall be judged. It shall be determined the degree of punishment that they shall receive. Now, all of the lost, anyone whose name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, shall be cast in the lake of fire. But God shall judge men, and I believe God shall judge those lost men to determine the degree of their punishment. On the other hand, all of the saved shall stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and all of us that are saved shall be judged, and it shall be determined the degree of our rewards. Now, all of us that are saved shall go to heaven, shall be in the holy city, but it shall be determined the degree of rewards that we shall receive when we appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Now consider this. First of all, bags of sins. The Bible says in that verse, my transgression is sealed up in a bag. And thou sewest up mine iniquity. Now I believe that Job put that in a picturesque way. And of course, God knows all the sins of all men. He knows all of your sins. He knows all of my sins. When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, my sin shall come to light. And some people may have the attitude, the idea, that for the saved person, that their sins will never come to light. When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I shall not be punished for my sins. But oh, the shame. As I realize some of the things that I did and did not do, when I stand before Christ and some of the things come out that I have done, think about things that you've said, things that you have done to others, that shall come out at the judgment seat of Christ. Luke chapter number 12, beginning with verse number 1. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. That are therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, notice, if you will, that the Bible says that He, speaking of Jesus, began to say unto His disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And then He told them that there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. It's all going to come to light. You might say, well, yeah, I gossiped, but I did it in the closet. Just a friend of mine, we were just talking, I was just saying some things, and I shouldn't have said them, but it was just between me and that person. It'll come to light. Our idle words, we shall give an account of every idle word. Imagine the sins. Imagine your own personal sins that shall come to light at the judgment seat of Christ. Imagine perhaps you said something about someone else, and then at the judgment seat of Christ, and perhaps the thought was that you're such a good person, but I've been dealing with hypocrisy and radio messages, but imagine if it seemed like you were such a good person, but really you've been a hypocrite. And you've been speaking against people behind their back. Imagine standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and all of God's people shall be there. So imagine if you've been saying things about somebody else in the church behind their back, and at the judgment seat of Christ, it comes out. There's nothing hidden that shall be revealed. Job said, my transgression is sealed up in a bag. Thou sowest up mine iniquity. God knows every sin that we've ever committed. Every sin. Every thought we shouldn't have thought. Everything we shouldn't have said. Everything we shouldn't have done. All the things we've left undone that we should have done. God knows it all. I don't know how. I can't explain how this can take place. And in a relatively short time, but perhaps our minds will be so changed that we'll have the ability to comprehend quickly. And the Lord will be able to go through these things quickly. I don't understand how it's all going to happen, but somehow all of those sins shall come to light. And so bags of sin. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 119 and verse number 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." 1 Peter 1:25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." Now someone might say, "Well, I thought when it came to sin, I'm saved, and so I thought when it came to sin that God will just forgive it and forget it." And somebody might say, "I've heard it all my life, forgive and forget. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what God's going to do." The fact is, God shall never remember it against you. If you're saved by the grace of God, it'll never be remembered against you as far as your everlasting account is concerned. But He hasn't forgotten that you've done those things. He knows it. I read those verses about the Word of God, and I believe that gives us the proof that God does not just simply forget about all of our sins. Because in the everlasting Word of God, we have accounts of men, of saints of God that have sinned, and accounts of those men are sealed, are settled, are kept in the everlasting Word of God. We have in the everlasting Word of God the terrible account of David and Bathsheba. We have in the everlasting Word of God the account of Peter denying his Lord. And we can go on and on with person after person, child of God that sinned against God. Those things are forgiven. But don't think that God doesn't remember them, and they shall come to light at the judgment seat of Christ. And then I want you to consider this as well. A bottle of tears. Psalm 56 and verse number 8. "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" This is a word spoken by David when he's having a hard time. He's living a hard situation. And God knew every tear that David shed in that hard situation. And God knows every tear that you have shed in your lifetime as well. The Bible, the psalmist said, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle." And so, he speaks of it in a matter-of-fact way that there is a bottle. God has a bottle. And I realize we might say, "Well, that's picturesque," but still, God knows every tear we've ever shed. The Bible says in Psalm 6 and verse number 6, David said this, "I water my couch with tears." Hezekiah was sick unto death. He turned his face to the wall. He prayed and said, he turned his face to the wall, and God said, "I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee." In Luke chapter number 7 and verse 38, we have the account of a woman that washed the feet of Jesus with her tears. God knows all the tears that have been shed and why they were shed. Then consider as well broken boxes and the judgment seat of Christ. Shortly before the death of Jesus Christ, there was a woman that broke a box that contained some precious ointment. And she poured it upon the head of Jesus Christ. And there was indignation against it. There was the attitude, why was this waste made? This could have been given to the poor. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 14 and verses 8 and 9, that Jesus said, She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand, or she has come aforehand, to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached through the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I actually think that the action of this woman by breaking that box and the pouring the ointment upon the head of Jesus Christ may have been what triggered Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus Christ. I think the indignation in Judas welled up and he left to take care of the situation. But I also believe that as the disciples were together there in the absence of Judas Iscariot, of course, during the Last Supper, Judas was there. And I believe that while Judas was there with them, the fragrance was there in the room because Jesus had been anointed with that ointment. And then I think afterwards, during that great body of teaching, there before they went to Gethsemane, there was the fragrance of the ointment that had been put upon Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ was tried by the council and condemned by the council, I believe he still bore the fragrance of the spikenard. And I believe as he stood before Pilate, and as he was beaten by soldiers and spat upon, he still bore the fragrance of the ointment that that woman had placed upon him. And now, all these years later, everywhere the gospel is preached, this is told about for a memorial to her. Jesus defended her. Jesus says she had done what she could. And there has been an ongoing memorial because of what that woman did. And at the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to know about all the broken boxes. All the times that someone had something, maybe a great talent that the world would think you'll spend it in a worldly way, you'll get worldly recognition for it, and yet perhaps the individual broke that box and poured it out upon Christ on a mission field somewhere. Maybe the ointment of just some great gift poured out to Christ. And the world may look upon that and say, that's such a waste. You could have made so much money and you could have done so much more if you'd just gone the way of this world. But at the judgment seat of Christ, those broken boxes shall be recognized. And then last of all, books at the judgment seat of Christ. If you will, turn to the book of the Revelation. In the book of the Revelation, of course, the Bible speaks about the books. Here, although some may refer to this as the great white throne judgment, and I can understand that, but on the other hand, Christ is going to be the judge. There's proof text for that in John chapter number 5 and in Matthew chapter number 7. Jesus Christ is going to be the one that lost men plead with. And they're going to try to tell them about their wonderful works, things that they did. And Christ shall tell them, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Now, chapter 20, verse number 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now the dead, and I believe here we have the lost, "The dead shall stand before God, they shall stand before Christ." And the Bible speaks about the book of life. The book of life shall be opened. And it'll be evident that the name of that individual is not in the book of life. But there shall be other books as well. There shall be books, there shall be records, I believe, of the works of the individual. Books shall be open. And I think as well it might refer to the book, the Word of God, by which we shall all be judged. There'll be these books opened. And men shall be judged. In this case, men shall be judged to determine the degree of punishment, in addition to just being cast in the lake of fire, the degree of punishment that they shall receive. We shall all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Bags of sin, bottles of tears, broken boxes, where people poured out precious things to the Lord, and books, and the judgment seat of Christ. It'll all come to light. I believe it'll be a real mixture among those of us that are saved of sorrow for failing to have done more. We could have done so much more. I could have done so much more. And I believe there'll be sorrow for sin, but there'll also be joy. And I believe that there'll be wonderful rewards for those that have faithfully served the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. It seems that there shall be the reward given. And then we shall have that entrance into the heaven. And then, of course, we'll leave heaven after a relatively short time and we'll come to earth. And there'll be the kingdom of heaven. Do you want an abundant entrance into the kingdom? Well, the Bible gives us some instructions as to how to have an abundant entrance. Do you want a better resurrection? If God calls you home by way of death, do you want a better resurrection? Well, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells about those that they want a better resurrection and what they did. We stand at the judgment seat of Christ. So many things we thought were so important, we're going to see that they were so insignificant. They were so unworthy of consideration. And we'll see how important it was to serve God faithfully. If you will, please stand.